Okay, it's 8:01 on March 16th, 2012, and this is a meeting of the Building and Grounds Committee. The subject is Sylvania Historical Village Compilation, AKA Audit. Is that okay to say? I'm Sandy Hussman, the Chair of Building and Grounds, and we have in attendance committee members Mike Brown, Katie Capellini, and Mary Westfall. We also have some council, Mark Lukey, the mayor, Mayor Stow is here, and from administration, Scott Smith and Jim Moan. We have the curator, Joy Armstrong of the village, and other members of the Historical Village Board. We're here today, the subject is to, and Doug Hanem just came in.
The late Doug Hanem.
Just in time to get his name on the roster.
I think he got Keith Haddad's watch.
Oh.
No, never, not even a bad year. No.
He was late. There are copies of the compilation if anyone needs one. Scott brought some extras in.
I'll take one.
That's the same as what you sent.
That's the same one that was sent there.
Right. I think we're just going to basically turn this over to Scott because he's the best to go through this. I think we all know the history of this was brought to us. Actually, Mary Westfall has been on the Sylvania Historical Village Board this past several years and has made arrangements to have this compilation done to kind of help us understand the financial situation with the historical village. And Scott has worked with Weber O'Brien to accomplish that. Scott, if you would tell us about this.
Like Sandy said, the technical accounting term for this is a compilation. It's not really an audit. They didn't do audit testing at it. What they did is they took our records and put it into a proper format so we could take a look at the financial position of the historic village. And I think if you look at the statements on page 2 and 3, it does a good job of taking all of the accounting records that pertain to the historic village and puts it on one page. You know, there's basically the four columns. The first column that's labeled Historical Sylvania Historic Village Inc. That is the three checking accounts that they maintain themselves outside of the city's treasury. They have a Maplewood Marketplace account that collects the rent for the marketplace. They have a building account, and they have a Historic Village 2000 account. So basically, that first column takes all the activities for those. The main activity is in the rental comes from the historic or the Maplewood Marketplace account. The events are run through that Historic Village 2000 account, and the building account. There's really not much activity. It just collected interest for that 2-year period. The second column, which is labeled the funds of the city of Sylvania, that actually has three sources also. We have expenditures in the general fund for salaries and office expenses. We have expenditures out of the capital improvements fund for repairs and maintenance items on the campus there. And also you'll notice in 2010, the capital expenditure was very large, and that was because we built the car barn that year, and that was the $250,000, that was a grant from the state. And also we have an account on our books called Heritage Center Trust, and that account collects the rents from the buildings on that property, and then expenditures are for maintenance items and various expenses of the actual campus. The third column is just called elimination entries, and what happens is the management agreement with the market, with the historic village, they collect the rents on the marketplace, and they manage the Maplewood marketplace, and then they turn back to us $68,700 a year. In 2010, it was $62,700 because we had done some renovations on one of the office spaces, and we just took that off of the rent. And so rather than penalize the historic village for that, we just reduced the rent they paid us by the $6,000. So that's why there's a difference in the 2 years on the elimination entry. So in total, you can see that the total cash receipts for 2010 was $411,532, expenditures of $418,473. And I know a number that's key to the council and the Building and Grounds Committee here is the item labeled city subsidy. It's the last revenue item in the second column there. And basically what that number is it nets together the expenditures made by the city on behalf of the historic village netted against the revenue that was generated. You know, they net the $68,000 they sent us. Other financial information that's in the report, you know, the first couple notes are really just narratives about, you know, the nature of the business and the basis of presentation and all that. But if you get to note three, we also identified some in-kind contributions that the city makes to the historic village. And what's included there is the water that we don't bill them for, and snow removal and lawn care. You know, Brian just has his people keep track on their time sheets of, you know, where they spend their time. And so he came up with that information for us. Note four, future lease receivable. All we were allowed to show on that schedule is leases that were in place, or if they had an option for renewal at the end of the lease, we also included them in the future lease receivable. So you can see that a lot of the companies that are in the marketplace were just on a month-to-month, so they really don't even show up on the future lease payment schedule there. Yes. That is the accounting information.
Scott, one of the things that I think helped me at least a little bit was when you explained that really the December 2009 report ending is probably more an accurate reflection of the financial breakdown for the village. That what happens if you look at the 2010, because of the car barn component, it looks like there's a lot more revenue going in there, and city subsidy is greater than what we really believe it to be.
Right. If you take off the grant, the 2010 city subsidy amount would only be like $63,700. So, and then you see in 2009 it's $72,000. So that, yeah, the 2000.
Maybe a little bit more of an accurate.
Nine is more appropriate, yeah.
And we think that's probably more in keeping with what we would see like in 2011.
I haven't really looked at 2011. I don't think we did many capital expenditures there in 2011, so we really cut back.
Okay.
Scott, the city subsidy line, and let's look at 2009 if it's more typical, at $72,000. Is that then what you're talking about in terms of the three accounts? That is the cumulative total of the general fund, capital improvements, and the Heritage Center Trust? Or is it?
Well, if you take those three and you back off the rental income that they collected and paid back, so you back off that $68,000, and that's those two together. that's pretty much money that the city spent. For the historic village, it wasn't from any other source.
Okay, and you said pretty much that's primarily for salaries and office expenses, is that right? Is that, that's the line that you're talking about?
Yeah, salaries, office expenses, and then any capital items. I think we did some painting and might have put a new porch on the building or something.
So when we pay for salaries, for example, we are forwarding the money to those folks, and they pay the salary?
No, we actually pay that out of our...
So that just reflects payments that we're making?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
I think for the Sylvania Historical Village, it was very helpful for us to begin to see these numbers, and I want to thank Scott for taking a leadership role and really working with the Weber and O'Brien Company to move this forward. Sandy and I have spent a fair amount of time with Scott trying to understand these details, and so, and we're very open to any questions or comments that you have, but it was very helpful for us, as well as for the whole historical village, to really understand a little bit more about what it costs to run this village, and we thought this became an accurate reflection. The village board is carefully now assessing what the next step will be now that we've got a better reflection of what the actual costs are associated with the village. So, you know, if you've got some specific things you're interested in knowing, we certainly want to know that, and make sure that we're addressing those questions as the historical village moves forward.
I guess a question I would have, and this is sort of to stay parallel with some discussion we've had in the Community Relations Committee. When we were talking recently about our community funding for 2011, one of the thoughts that came up from the committee was that if the city is going to fund an organization, a community organization, it should have a representative on that organization's board. Okay. And I think the specific reference was to the chamber. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you're our representative on the board at the Historical Foundation, or the Historical Village. Could you, or maybe members of the board, talk a little bit about the level of, for example, strategic planning that the board engages in? You know, how strategic are you in the allocation of these kinds of funds? I've been here for a while, and I know we get a written report from the village from mm-hmm. time to time, but could you maybe, or one of the board members talk about
that? Well, I certainly will invite board members to join as well, but I do think, Mark, that this was the first step in beginning that strategic process. We first needed to understand the dollars that were coming in and going out. We feel like now we've got the basis. We really understand what the revenue, additional revenue coming in to the organization is, mm-hmm. where that revenue comes from. So the next round of discussions becomes how do we increase that revenue and how do we become more strategic? But to start those strategic initiatives without having any idea of how the money flowed in and out was challenging. And mm-hmm. I think that's really how we got to the point of putting together the compilation. So I do think that the Historical Village sees that as its next step. And I think they're very excited about it. I feel a new energy in the board thinking about this opportunity to really build and create a strategic plan that sets a 3 to 5 year plan for the future. Okay. So, but I certainly welcome any of the members that are present to chime in and lend any support or comments, anything that I've missed.
We've just tossed around lots of different ideas. That's mm-hmm. basically where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to show good faith effort that we're thinking about bringing in more income into the village. And
right. The one thing that I would, I guess this is just sort of my own personal thought, I would encourage the board to think about, and I'm not suggesting you're not doing this because I think you are, but as council entertains ideas about what downtown Sylvania ought to become, you know, as we build out the SOMO project, as we build out the downtown project, it would be helpful strategically, I think, if the village could think through how it could become a more active contributor to that, you know, because some of you all at least were at the presentation we had here a few months ago about turning the area north of Erie Street into a arts and entertainment, north of Maplewood into an arts and entertainment district. That's obviously right in your front yard. So, you know, to be able to kind of create a parallel track to support that so that when we get to the end of our journey, we're all at the same, we're all contributing the same thing.
I think one of our missions, I Bill Chash again, I dropped into the board only, geez, almost 2 years ago. So I was a neophyte, and my experience has been that it's been a nice small attraction for the city of Sylvania that it hasn't really, it's a diamond that has not been plucked out yet. And it's got potential to be special here in the area. And as a board member, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but I know that we think it's an important part of Sylvania, more than just taking money in and using money, et cetera, et cetera. It's more than a revenue stream. It's something that we have, that no one else in the community has, being the Lucas County community. And it's a small jewel that should be nurtured as opposed to being looked upon as just a black hole. And the board's responsibility has been to make sure that you understand that, meaning the council, that along with the people of Sylvania, but we have to start with you first, because you're funding it. So we need to justify our existence first to you, and then we want to walk out in the community and be more relevant to all of the constituency, not just a few people. That means river drives, et cetera, et cetera. So we do understand that on the board, and we are really just starting to work on it. And as Mary Kay said, and Mary, this was a start, because we don't know how much money we're spending or bringing in on a global level, where you could really plan something. I'm a small business owner, so I understand that this is the lifeblood of any business. And you need to understand that first. And I think now that we have some information, we can start getting a little more efficient and have more knowledge to not only for ourselves as a board, but also for council to understand what we're doing here. But we think that that is a worthwhile investment by the city, that it will pay back dividends if we're allowed to move forward. What we want is to help, though, too, with that planning. How can we strategically work with you to make our village more relevant to your efforts? And that's the big thing, is opening up lines of communication, reaching out. And we want to, and it's, that shouldn't all be just Joy's job or Sarah's job. The board needs to be more responsible for this. And so therefore, that's why we're here, that's why I'm here, so you understand that we take this seriously and we really want to make this, you know, an important part of Sylvania. So this is just step one. So you're right at the end to see this thing.
Thanks.
What I'd like to mention is the dealing with Daniela Fulmer. I want to say she gets it about the historical village. I think, because I hear this from so many people, they don't know what's in their own backyard. They come downtown for Fossil Fest, that's historical village. They come for Art and Earth, that's historical village. They come for a fall festival, the main component, historic and village. It's, people know it's there, they come to these events, but they don't see that it is a celebration put on by historical village. Since we started the historical village back in 95, we've gotten the first two historical markers ever for Sylvania, which were so long overdue. You know, we had the history from 1833, but nobody recognized it. So we brought that historical aspect up front. We're now recognized by the Maumee Valley Heritage Corridor, which is the Ohio Scenic Byway. We have, last year, brought the Ohio Friends of Freedom and the Underground Railroad here for their meeting. We posted the Region 1, which is 11 counties of Northwest Ohio, at their annual meeting. I have a classic car show, or a classic car group, called Happy Days that are coming in May, which are all, by the way, staying right downtown. I believe there's 100 families involved in that one. I have a group coming out of New Jersey that's doing an Underground Railroad tour. So it's paybacks that you're not actually seeing. You know, I'm not blitzing it, Sarah, who by the way is not part of your expense, that Historic Village 2000 account is there all the way back from when we put on Just Around the Bend in the year 2000? Okay. So the money that was left over for that pays for me to have an assistant, $10 a week to do the PR work. Sarah, especially with our campaigning now going online, we have gotten a lot of press, and I think all of you have noticed how much press we're getting in this last year. That's the money that pays for Sarah. So, other than myself, I get Sarah $10 a week. Everything else that we do up there, all these schools, we've, the last 7 weeks, we've had 1,400 visitors in the museum because of our elementary art show. And it's things like that that you have to pat yourselves on the back for, that you're not aware that it's out there because you're not seeing the monetary. But I want to tell you, of the 1,400 people that were there, because it's a 5:30 to 6:30 reception for them, do you know how many eat in downtown Sylvania right before or right after? Because it's like, only take one cookie, we have to go eat. Or Dad's sitting down with James, he's holding the table. It's that kind of involvement which people don't really see, and you're not getting the correct kudos for. But I think it's important that council understand it's not just what you see as it comes across the board. You know, it's the whole downtown and what we are becoming. And that's why when we first met with Fulmeyer, and they said, wow, you know, the 2,000 school kids that come to every day. This week I've got a Boy Scout group coming and a Girl Scout group coming. We work with special ed kids every Monday with the school system. So we have some great partnerships.
So I think if you listen to Joy, you can hear what a fabulous job she's doing in terms of bringing people in. I think it's true. And I think what you, and Joy supports this thought process, and I think the board is behind all this. You can hear all the people she's bringing into the village, 1,400 people this week, all the people through this. So the board's conversations are really trying to say, how do we now cultivate those people? So they understand really where have they been?
Sure.
How do we get them to become donors? How do we pull them into volunteers? That's the strategic planning part that needs to happen next. We do know how much money is coming in from our special events. We know how much money is coming in from the rent on that property now, thanks to the good work that's been done here through this compilation. So I think you can see the use and the infrastructure has been there, and they're bringing a lot of people in, but we're not actually moving them to the next level. And I think that's a part of the strategic planning process that we'll see this very capable board begin to engage in. And we're really excited to really help Joy move everybody to that next level of awareness. And we know, as you shared from Pokemeyer, the marketing studies continue to tell us that this is an asset to our community. So we're very proud of it. We just now have to take that asset, and I loved your analogy there, you know, just polish the diamond, you know, and make sure that people understand it. They're not just walking in to have a cookie. They're walking in, and they know that they're at the village, and now they're going to go from the village to how do we get them onto our mailing list, how do we get them to donate, so we begin to really cultivate those relationships. And it's going to be a very exciting process for this board.
Any questions for me before I sit down with you and the board meeting? Okay. I'm thinking.
I'm wondering if you would ever consider like some kind of partnership with the Metro Parks. I mean, they've got the like canal boat and the towpath, and they've got, it just seems like they could be a really good resource with the strategic planning and bringing in more people from Lucas County and people that don't already know. They might really be a really great asset, especially since they've got the Laker Pass. Pardon?
We'll consider anything.
I mean, they might be a really good resource to reach out to.
You know, the only other thing that I'm assuming that the board does and has thought about, but it doesn't really show up here, is looking at grants to sort of expand out the funding base. A lot of grants have been cut and reduced over the last couple of years, but I think the historical community continues to be pretty vital and active that way. So, you know, I think as there are programs in particular that you do, that you need funding for, and I'm not saying this to take the burden off of city funding, because I think it's money well spent, but as a way to expand out, that might be something to take a look at.
We discussed that as well. We don't have a grant writer on our board.
Yeah, right.
But that, there's a few open spots that we're thinking about filling, and we want to fill them strategically. So we know that that's
right.
One of the qualities we would like to look for.
Right. Right. And, you know, there's the Center for Nonprofit Development downtown, and I think if even one of the staff or one of the board members went down and connected with them, they could probably help you think about grant writing in a way that you don't need to really have a grant writer.
Is that the name of that?
Center for Nonprofit.
Through the Toledo Community Foundation.
It is indeed.
We have chatted about that a little bit.
I'm sure the Metro Parks has a grant writer.
So I think our next steps here are just, we wanted to make you aware, we'll do a report out at the city council meeting about our meeting, and the historical village board will now move forward that they've got this information and try to put in place a more strategic initiative, set in place stronger metrics for how to become successful moving forward. And one of the other things that I think we want to make sure that we bring to our committee here, and then I don't know if we need to make any kind of a official motion, but as chair of Buildings and Grounds, we are would like to make the suggestion and recommendation to the board that Sandy becomes the representative to that council. It seems to be, that's kind of how I was fortunate enough to have this opportunity, and so in her role as chair of this committee, it seems to be the right fit. So I think I'd like to make, do we need to take that to council in a formal motion?
You need to report that back to council.
Just to report it back. There's nothing official we need to do.
You can make a recommendation here, or you can just carry it to the council meeting.
Do we need a vote on that? Not really. We'll just make that recommendation to council.
Correct.
Okay. So that's it. If there's no other questions or...
Well, I have one comment to make. I think this is really good that, you know, we can see how the money's being collected and spent and everything, because I've been confused on how this whole process takes place for the 4 years that I've been around here. But I also, in the back of my mind, keep on thinking that we need to treat the historical village the same way we treat Plummer Pool. It's an asset to the community. It's used by the community. And, you know, the promotional part, I really like to get more people to go through it. But, you know, that same attitude council has towards Plummer Pool, I think we need to have towards the historical village also. And that's how I see the two. I see them as being part of our whole experience here in the city. And I think it's important that we make sure that they're successful and we help them along. You know, like with the grant writing and stuff like that. I think it's really important to the community, and it's also really important to the downtown district.
Well, and right now, the way it's structured, it's really council's responsibility to make sure that we are allowing this organization to be successful, because we really do allow the board to act on our behalf, and
right.
That's why Sandy will be sitting at that table to make sure if there's anything in question, she can bring it back here. But absolutely, agree. Yeah.
Well, I just have a couple of comments myself that I think it's important that we support this organization as it's our investment. Mm-hmm. We've invested a lot of money into property and time and energy, and so I think that's we got to look at that, and what we get back is that village staff and volunteers there operate the several businesses that we benefit having in town, and the rental for those businesses. So I think it's, and that's a big job, the management and maintenance of those buildings, and that's, you know, a greatly because of the people on the board and the staff. And I think it's important to realize that the historical village is not a community program like the other ones, SCAD or Savannah Area Family Services, it is our investment, and we need to take good care of it and support them in any way that we can. Obviously, financial is going to be a problem in the next few years, and I think they're aware of that and are looking at things such as they've already started the process of revamping the rental fees for their different facilities, and they're looking at, you know, how to make the most of what's there, and also in that same way, getting people into the village by renting out the different areas that they have. I guess if there's anyone else that has comments, otherwise, I think the next move is just to take this to full council and
report out on it. I don't think there's any kind of
There's no action really that needs to be.
I think Mary Kay has.
I can't see her. Mary Kay?
I just would like, before we all close, to thank all of you for taking the time out to discuss this with us, letting us be here to get information from you and suggestions from all of you. It helps us all, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here as well.
My turn.
May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
We will adjourn at, wait, that's not the right time. At
8:35.
8:35, not what the clock says.